So the title of my preaching is Teach Us to Pray. It just only took me 20 minutes to get there, don't worry. I'll be going, what do you mean with teach us to pray? But I get it from this verse. Luke 11, verse 1 to 4. It's the classic, if you're Afrikaans, it's the Onze Vader. English, it's the Asse Vader. I'm joking. Yeah, you know. You want to say it or not? Some of you might know this off of heart. Our Father who art in heaven. If you say our Father who art in heaven, I know what translation you're reading. You're a KJV person, I know. Okay. Anyway, so he was praying in a certain place, and this was Jesus. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. I once heard someone say, doing a preach, and the preach was about this scripture, and he quoted it like this. They asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. Do you notice that they don't ask Jesus, teach us how to pray? They asked Jesus, teach us to pray. You might be thinking, there's a difference between teach us to pray and teach us how to pray, right? Did you know that? Because what we have historically done is we've taken the scripture going like, oh, the Lord is teaching us how to pray. So, we just need to say that prayer 5 times a day, and then we're praying, like he said. But that's not the point. He's teaching his disciples to pray. I almost said how to pray, right? Yeah. He's teaching his disciples to pray. So what is he teaching them then? Is he giving them a rhyme to say? Is it like a mondeling? Just say this over and over. No. Anyway, let's go on. He said to them, whenever you pray, say, Father, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves also forgive anyone in debt to us. And do not bring us into temptation. Right? Then we leave it there. Oh, that's great. The Lord's Prayer. Did you know that it goes on? Verse 5. I love this. Then, teaching them more about prayer. We always leave this part out, don't we? No, because we love doing it. I need to read my Bible. So I open up, read the Onze Vader finnig. I read my Bible, check. No. Anyway, teaching them more about prayer. Use this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight. Peter, can you imagine that? I'm going at your friend's house at midnight. Wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived. You say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat. And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, don't bother me. The door is locked for the night, and my family and I are all in bed. I can't help you. I mean, if you knock at my door at 12 o'clock asking for 3 loaves of bread, this is going to be the same answer. Okay, just so that you know. Mainly because I do not have 3 loaves of bread in my house. But besides that, it's not going to happen. Right? I can't help. Verse 8. But I tell you this. Though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. We've got a dog, right? We've got 2 dogs, right? This morning at 6 o'clock I went to Herzogville. Visiting the judge chain there. When I got home this afternoon, Gabby was telling me, I'm sharing this story. And I was like, she was laying in bed, like it's all nice and it's cold and laying in bed. But those dogs, they're standing outside that door. Because they want to eat, So I was like, oh, I want to lay in bed, man. Can't you just wait half an hour? I fed you last night, come on. But because of their shameless persistence, it's like, can you stop? And you go and you feed them, please, leave me alone, I want to sleep. You know? It's like, it's the same. Verse 9, and so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. Anyone who seeks finds. And to anyone who knocks, the door will be opened. This is part of Jesus' teaching on teaching us to pray. And the disciples are like, we need to pray like this guy prays. So then he tells them, he gives them like, you know, these are some ideas of how to pray. But he's like, guys, he has this whole other story. Man, if you pray, pray and keep on praying and keep on knocking and keep on asking. You need to be like that little dog. He goes like, almost at the Lord goes like, okay, fine. That's not his heart. But this is the story that he uses in light of prayer. He goes like, guys, seriously, if a friend knocks on your door the whole night for a loaf of bread, you're going to give him what he wants. And then God uses this as an invitation. Knock on my door. He's got the loaves. Knock on his door and keep on knocking. Right, and I'll qualify some of what I said. But I want to look at a couple of lessons we can take out of this, out of the story that, that Jesus uses. Right, so cool slide there. That's not spelled wrongly. You can put a komaiki there. Yes, English, right? Very good. Very good English. Okay. All the Afrikaans people are like, what? Okay. It's good English. All you need to know. So Jesus' lessons. It's hard to say, though. So the first one I think we need to notice is say. Like, what are you saying? I know. Do I have the scripture up? Yes. I did it. I put it in the bowl there. Verse 2. And he said to them, whenever you pray, say. Say. He doesn't say, whenever you pray, think. But it sounds obvious, but I know. I kind of do that sometimes. I'm sure you do it as well. Have you been at a prayer meeting? And everyone's like, no one's praying. And he asks, hey guys, are we going to pray? Yeah, we are, we are. No, you're not. Because you're not saying. I'm quite serious about this. I think often one of the reasons why God doesn't answer our prayers is we're not asking anything. We're thinking a lot. And I remember wrestling with this. I remember, oh, come on, man. What's the difference between saying and thinking? Why do I need to say my prayers? And I felt the Lord saying, if you're not going to say it, why should I answer? I was like, you know, because you can do it anyway. And it's like, if you don't want it bad enough to simply say it, you really don't want it at all. And I'm like, no, but I don't want to speak in front of people, okay? So what the one other person thinks about you is more important than this thing you're asking for. So what you're saying is, you don't really want this. You see what I'm getting at? I remember just being wrecked by God. Like, okay, okay, fine. I mean, I think even, Liffy, I think we did it once where we were chatting about trusting God for something. I think it was a car, right? Yeah, we were trusting, yeah, we're trusting God for a car for like three years ago. I don't remember. Same thing. And we're like, okay, we're praying. We're like, yeah, we'll pray about it. I was like, okay, well, let's pray now. Okay. Like, no, let's speak it. And it was a bit awkward. You know, we're sitting in the car. My car asking for a car. And then we had to pray it. And the moment we said it, it was a bit awkward. I'm not going to lie. It was a bit awkward asking for this thing, and we're praying in front of one another, so it was a bit awkward, you know. But now we're praying. I kid you not, I think like a day or two later, you know, someone comes like, hey, I've got this car, you know. Do you want the car? No, it didn't go down quite just like that, but someone gave us a car. I'm oversimplifying it. I'm like, whoa. We then sold the car later to go on an outreach, but that's not the point, okay? The point is, Jesus says, say. Man, if you're driving, if you're walking, now I'm not saying you need to do it loud enough that he hears you. It's not like he's deaf, but the point is he's expecting an action of actually praying. How did the disciples know Jesus was praying? Because they probably heard him or at least saw he was busy walking up and down and speaking, right? Like often you see, whenever you see someone praying in the Bible, there's people hear them pray. Like you never really see in the Bible where someone kind of thinks their prayers and kind of people just assume they pray. They're like, do you see what I'm saying? It seems actually obvious now that you think of it. Right. Right? Especially in a corporate prayer meeting. Someone needs to say something so the rest of us can go, yes, amen. We agree with that, God. We also ask for that. Versus we're all like, and then 5 minutes later, amen. Let's go. If the only thing you get out of this is that you break that fear of man, hey, great. Bang, win-win. God wins, you win, everyone wins. But the first thing is say. We need to speak our prayers. We shouldn't think our prayers. We need to like say these things. And I want to, there's something that happens. I know for me, when I'm, let's say I'm sitting at home and I'm starting to pray, when I get excited to my prayers, it's like my volume also goes up because faith starts to rise. I'm starting to pray. I'm speaking these things versus I'm sitting and just kind of throwing out a request and moving on. Okay, next point. You know, it's like, no, man, I'm asking and I'm keeping on asking and I'm knocking and keeping on knocking. And prayer is a much more front-footed thing than we've made it. Because the devil will do anything he can to distract you from prayer. Even if he convinces you, all you need to do is think your prayers. Now look, if it's the middle of the night and you've got three kids and they're all sleeping and you're like, don't move. You know? Sure. Maybe mouth your prayers. I don't know. But don't use an extreme scenario as an excuse for everything. Because we do that. Yeah, but what in the case of, and then this. And then that's now the excuse of us never actually praying aloud. But watch out for that thing, man. The devil is not sleeping. He's going for you. He's going for your prayer life. I think it's the number one thing the devil's going at, is your prayer life. Some of you are like, you can't go for it if I don't have it. No, I'm serious. Yeah, we do that sometimes. Like, I'm just not going to pray it and he can't attack me. Yeah, man, you'll miss out. God wants you to pray. You're probably here because someone prayed for you. And someone's probably out there because we're not praying for them. Where's the show? Sure. Another thing, when Jesus say, you know, he says, say, now I've made that point, so you need to know, you need to speak your prayers, say them. Because once you say something, it kind of, you know, you kind of make it, not you make it a reality in a weird way, but once you say something, it's like you've committed now. You've said it. We're going for it. It's like you make holiday plans, like, yeah, we'll do something, yeah. But sometimes you need to make the group and start organizing the things, then it makes it official. You know what I mean? All right, so the next thing is, when Jesus says, say, he says, say, Father. And you need to know this, when we pray to the Father. Right? Now look, when I get excited, sometimes I jump between Jesus, Holy Spirit, and you know, you get all excited and you can't think fast enough. To understand. But when Jesus says pray, we need to pray to the Father. Generally how it works is we pray to the Father. Right? Through Jesus, by the Holy Spirit. But we shouldn't be, Holy Spirit, Jesus, Father, would you, Holy Spirit, Jesus, Father, do the Holy Spirit? You know, it's like, just Father. I mean, we're asking Him. We're speaking to the Father. That being said, God is not like Home Affairs, where you stand for hours in a queue, get to the front, and then like, sorry, wrong queue. You need to be over there. Man, He knows. So if you accidentally say, Jesus, would you come and do this? It's not like He's purposefully now going to ignore you because you did not say it, right? But you need to know when we pray, because this is more than just prayer. This is our relationship, right? Because we've got a relationship here. We pray to the Father because He is the one that's in control. Like He is the one. Even Jesus prays to the Father. Jesus submits to the Father. Right now, Jesus is still submitted to the Father. And the Bible says that, you know, in the end, Jesus will be in control of everything. And then He would take everything and then submit it under the Father. And then the Bible says He would Himself go low again and submit. He's got that posture of submitting. So even Jesus goes like, Lord, not my will, yours. Father, not my will, yours. So our prayers goes to the Father. Right? Try and build that into your life. It's going to bless your prayer life. And there's something of a fatherhood that you would start to catch. Because we've got a Father. Some of you are like, I don't want to do that. It's weird. I don't have a great father. And then ask the Father to come and heal that thing. Right, next point. Example. When Jesus does the Onze Vader, what is it in English? The Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. I think it's the Lord's Prayer. That's the right term. Yeah, or the Our Father, whatever, the thing, right? When He does the prayer, You need to know that this is an example. This is not the blueprint, as in like we need to pray this every, you know. It says, and something I love about this, you know, what Jesus breaks, and I think, Dean, what did you call it, prayer? Some people look at prayer as a vending machine, right? Yeah, some people look at prayer as this vending machine, where I go, I put my prayer in and I get whatever I want. But that's not the point. That's why I love what Jesus does here. He gives an example to show the people, man, prayer is not a vending machine. And some people think it's like a slot machine. I pray and hope I get the jackpot on it. Someone who faith at least goes like, I know it's a vending machine. I can ask and God's going to. But it's not a vending machine. He says, whenever you pray, say, Father, your name be honored as holy. What is he saying there? Man, we start off by aligning our hearts to the Father. When we pray, we align our hearts. Lord, your name be holy. Father, your name be honored as holy. We start off by looking at God and making sure His name gets lifted up. So prayer starts with focusing on God. Then the next thing, your kingdom come. Again, he's throwing out broad terms so that we can, you know, make it personal for us within whatever we pray for. I'm not saying every time you pray, you need to first, you know, focus on God, first focus on His kingdom. But generally, our prayer life should be of God first, His kingdom. And when He says His kingdom, man, we pray, we want to see Your kingdom come. We want to see Your kingdom come in my life, and in my friend's life, in my neighbor's life, in those around us. We start to pray God's will in these things. Someone once said, now, what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is anywhere where God is king. So if there is an area of your life that He is not king of, that area is not in the kingdom of God. So if you've got an idol, then that part is not in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has not come there. Right. So then we start to pray, Lord, your kingdom come. And we don't need to say just your kingdom come. We can make this normal. Lord, would you come and do what you want to do? We want to see the type of church you want to see. I pray for this friend of mine that he would, you know, and I pray to God, God's kingdom into this situation. That His kingdom would come. Next, give us each day our daily bread. It's not give us each day our daily Ferrari. Yeah? You know, it's great that we can have nice things and trust on nice things, but at its core, Jesus, man, ask God to give you what you need. Sure, there's a space where you can ask Him for what you want, and I'm not focusing on that tonight. But man, it's to get away from the vending machine mentality. Ask Him for what you need. But the rest of our prayers, all of these things are very God-focused, kingdom-focused, other-focused. He says, and just provide for us what we need. Now look, what you need might be a bigger salary. What you need might be a bigger space so that you can host community so that God's kingdom can come there. What you need might be like 40,000 rand to go on this outreach. You know what I mean? So when he says our daily bread, it doesn't just mean kenet my portion. So it can, for some of you, it can mean just enough to get by. But for some of you, it's, man, God, no, His kingdom, His will in your situation might be more. Ask for His will in your life. Lord, give us our daily bread. Give us what we need. Give us today what is going to sustain us for today. The next one. And forgive us our sins. Forgive us our sins. Keep our hearts clean and keep our conscience clean. You know, we ask the Lord, is there anything that I need to change? Is there anything? Now forgive my sins. Come and show out my sins. Come and help me. Is there anything that brings separation between me and God? I pray against that thing. Forgive me of this thing. We. It's like this part of the prayer is almost like God is saying, let's sit together. Like just us two. Let's speak about some issues between us. You know, if you and a friend offended one another, you know, there's like some bad stuff. She's like, let's just sit together. And part of the prayer is we sort out. We make sure we're close again. We bring these things before God. Ah, Lord, I'm sorry about this. And then he says, yes, He forgives us. And He wipes it clean. It's that whole process of, you know, forgiveness. That's like this forgiveness. But then he goes on, for we also forgive anyone indebted to us. We ourselves also forgive. Next point of the prayer. Are you dealing with offense in your life? Are you forgiving others? That's the point you should bring it up in prayer. Lord, you know, sometimes I guess, Lord, help me forgive others. But we bring it before God. Lord, help me forgive that person as I know you've forgiven me. Or it might be, Lord, yes, help me Yeah, help that person forgive me. I'm so sorry for that. You know, but we bring our relational issues, we bring before God as part of prayer. The next one. And do not bring us into temptation. Look, it's not like God's going to bring. But the question is like, Lord, keep us from it. Like, help us. It's like Jesus finishes off here like, keep us close to you and far from sin. That our prayer would be, Father, keep us close to you and far from sin. It's like when we asked the Lord to not deliver us into temptation, it's not like he was thinking about it, but now that we ask, now he won't let us sin. It's like we're asking, Lord, just keep us close to you. Keep us close to you. The next point, right? So that's just the Lord's Prayer. It's an example. It's an example. It's not the example, like the thing we need to pray. Right? I've seen it. Guys just pray that prayer. It just feels like there's nothing there. Honestly, sometimes there is. Some of you might pray it and just the Lord's hearing you. But often it's just like this external thing we're trying to do. There's no reality to what we're asking. There's no reality to the relationship we have with the Father. Right? Versus I've seen people pray. And it's the most simple, basic prayer. And everyone in the room just knows God just heard that. Have you felt that? You know, someone prays and everyone just goes like, wasn't a powerful prayer, but it's like just, you know, the words are quite basic. And it's like, yo, it's a real prayer there. I want to encourage you, man, be normal when you pray. Like firstly say, right? But then be normal when you pray. We don't need to get weird. Next one, next point, is the shameless persistence. I love this, a different translation, one of my favorite translations, which would say, a shameless boldness. A shameless boldness to enter into God's presence. You're like, you're walking in there, it's like, it's Lord, it's me again. Back to ask again. It's like, but because you know he's your Father, man. It's like, he doesn't mind. Sometimes we think the Father is like, it's 4 o'clock on a Friday evening and he just can't wait to have a holiday in a weekend. You know, he's like, please don't come into my office now. You know? Man, it's not like that. We need to have a shameless boldness, a shameless persistence to like, we're here again, Lord. Because that's what he wants. Now, and if you're wrestling with sin, you need to bring that before Jesus so that you can get back to that point of shameless boldness. Because what is the devil? The devil has this thing where he says to you, like, hey, don't you want to do this thing? It's quite nice. And then you do it. And then he goes like, oh, I can't believe you did that. And then you go like, but I'm confused. You said, oh, you know. And then he's like, oh, God must hate you now. No, and then someone sends on the group, hey guys, I've got a prayer request. Can you pray for me? And you're like, okay, I want to pray. And then just before you pray, the devil's like, I don't know. You just did that, and now you want to pray, buddy. That's his scheme. He's always been doing that. It's not new. Now, look, I'm not saying just send away. But when you've done it, get back to Jesus quickly. Be forgiven, and get back to shameless persistence. It's like, I mean, there's no shame. There's no wondering what God thinks about, you know, does he really want me asking this again? Or am I bothering him? No, that's shame. Where's the shameless persistence? There should be no shame between you and God. And if there is, you need to get rid of it. Can I tell you a secret? He knows anyway. You know? Once you start realizing God knows anyway, it's easy to come to him with your issues. I mean, I know a lot of us are thinking about the big things, but often it's the small things. And that, you know, someone maybe, you're driving and someone cuts in front of you. It's almost like your prayers go, like, Lord, let your kingdom come down on them. You know, so, like, you're frustrated. And then you're like, you know, and you almost get mad at this person and someone's saying on the group, hey, you know, my tani is sick, can we pray for her? And you're like, oh, yes, I don't even want to, you know, be merciful now. I just feel miffed, you know. God knows, man. Deal with that thing. Doesn't make it okay, it's not what I'm saying, but he knows. Get back into His presence quickly. Quickly. He didn't die on the cross so that you can sit outside and mope. He died that you can come in. He died that you can come into His house. He died that you can come into His presence. Not sit outside and, oh, get off here. Stop that. You're laughing at God if you keep looking at your own sin and not His price that He paid. Enter in. Enter into His presence shamelessly. Man, if you've got that heart, like that shameless boldness, this man, God moves. Everything, you know? Look, you'll mess up. You will. Just get it. You will. Hands down, guaranteed. But get over it and move forward. Deal with it quickly. Move forward. You know, I know a lot of you maybe say, look, I've been asking, week in, week out, and you're like, Paul, I've been trying this persistence thing. I've been knocking, my knuckles are starting to bleed because nothing, no one's opening up, right? I know, I've been there, right? Mainly just before a test I didn't study for. I'm like, Lord, you need to, right? And then you walk away from the test after you failed it, like, oh, doesn't God answer my prayers? It's like, you know, someone says, oh, you know, everything happens for a reason. Yeah, well, the reason was you didn't study. So don't do that again. We love giving God the blame. Eh? No, it's God's fault. Everything happens for a reason. I know He's got a plan of this. Yeah, His plan is to discipline you because you didn't do what He said. All right? Okay, just get out of the way. 1 John 5, verse 14. This is the confidence we have before Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. That doesn't mean we just say, Lord, Your will be done, Your will be done. That's a great prayer. Look, eh? That's a great prayer, actually. But we need to find God's will and pray that. Does God want people to be saved? Yes. Pray that. God, does God want you to be holy? Yes. Pray that. Does God want you to have that new job? I don't know. Find out, and then pray that. And if you're not sure, pray it anyway. Look, what's the worst that can happen? You know? Yeah. Sometimes you might even do it just because you keep on asking. That's the whole point of the story. It's like just because you keep on asking. But because He is a good Father, He knows, my son, my daughter, this thing that you're asking for, it's not a great idea. So sometimes He might not. So don't let one disappointment cause you to, God doesn't answer my prayers. Just find out what God's will is and pray that, and then you'll see Him starting to move. Does God want to build this church? Yes. So pray that. Right? I'm sure some of you are thinking of other things that God wants to do. Now pray that. Get in last thing. I'm going to land now. Let me do that thing. If anyone that's part of a church knows, that doesn't mean I'm going to land now. I'm joking. This word is not a typo, don't worry. Abba. Can I just shoot the golden calf quickly? All right. And what that means is someone has an idol and I just need to kill it. I don't know if it's someone specific. I've just seen this as a very unhelpful idol. Or maybe not an idol, just an unhelpful thing. Right. The question is, do we need to call Him Abba? This is going to get me in a little trouble. Mark, no, I'm joking, you won't. Mark 14, verse 36. You don't need to edit this out. Where's behind? Everything's still fine, don't worry. Going a little further. Yeah. He fell to the ground and prayed. This is just before Jesus was going to be crucified. That if possible, the hour might pass from Him. And then you see the quotation marks. Abba, Father, He said, everything is possible for You. Take this cup from Me. Yet, not what I want, but what You want. Not my will, Your will. Right? And then, I'm sure some of you have heard a preach like this. This word Abba, it's an Aramaic word that means daddy. It's like this most intimate way. And then you get guys, we're praying like, oh, Abba Father. You know? Can I tell you this? Abba does not mean daddy. Tried and tested. You can come and debate me afterwards. I don't know, I do not mind. Someone has probably misled you, telling you it is Abba means daddy. It does not. I'm sorry. Do you see what I said? I'm going to touch some golden calves here. Because someone wanted to encourage you that he's your father, but he's your father. He's not your chummy. Not your daddy. He's father. Right? And Abba doesn't mean daddy. You can go and research it for yourself. Maybe not, because you'll find someone that says, yes, it means daddy. Right? The Jews right now do use Abba as a form of the word daddy. But it's only fairly recently, because they don't have that word in Hebrew. That word Abba is an Aramaic word, which means father. So what Jesus is saying there is actually translated as father, father. Right? So you might be going like, okay, well, why do they translate it as Abba? Because the Abba part is Aramaic and the father part is Greek, where he says pater. So what Jesus is doing is what he's trying to communicate to you is that God wants you to speak to him in your language, like in the way that you speak. I mean, Jesus is faced with the cross and out of his heart, he cries out in the language he would be speaking. It's like, this is the most normal, the most raw moment for him. And he cries out like, I mean, if you're Afrikaans, you might be like, Pa. You know? Whatever your language is, whatever way you relate maybe to your father, it might be that. Look, if you grew up calling your dad Papa or Daddy, doesn't make it less. But the point is not that we should all call the father Daddy. I think for a lot of us, it's unhelpful. And you bring down the way that you look at the father. Because he's the father that can kill you in an instance. You know, we need to have that position, eh? So we miss the brilliance of what's being said when we numb it down to just meaning daddy. Because it's not just like, oh, you're calling daddy. No, what he's saying is, just be real in front of God. Man, relate to the Father in the way that you relate to the Father. You know that? You know what language the Father speaks? He speaks Ninka. He speaks Dean. He speaks your language. Not necessarily your physical language, you know, but he relates with you. So be normal. Yeah, I love it. Sorry, Ben, I'm picking on you. We were praying right here in front. As this guy starts praying. Sorry, I'm throwing you under the bus. Yeah. I love that prayer. It was great. This is a good example of this. He starts praying. He's like, yes, Lord. Lord, would you just come and, you know, just grab people by the throat and bring them to you? You know? And I was like, yeah. Amen. That's a prayer right there. You know, because he's normal. And he's legitimately asking God to come and do something. And God knows what he's saying, you know. Someone else, I think Daniel went like, I'm kidding, he didn't. But it's, man, be normal when you pray. It's like one more thing, hey, please, if you pray. Look, once or twice, then the Lord knows you're praying to him. Right? You don't need to, Father God, would you please come in, Father God, would you please, Father God. He knows you speak. He's like, we all know you speaking to God. Please. If you come to me, right? Honestly, and I will do this, right? If you come to me and you're like, hey, Paul, I just wondered, hey, Paul, that we can, I'm like, bro, can you stop? It's weird. No, it is, it is. It's uncomfortable if someone calls me on my name every third word. I don't know about you. Once or twice, it's cool, oh, you remembered my name, but then it gets uncomfortable. I just like, are you trying to convince yourself that this is me? It's, you know, be normal. I said I'm gonna shoot some calves here. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm not trying to anything. Most of these things I did myself. Sometimes I even still do it. Right? I think it was at the Equip. Someone asked me to pray. I wasn't ready for it. I mean, you've got like leaders here that are like Russell, Lane. You got the bullies. That are, you know, they're like the leaders in Josh Jen. Now, I'm like the guy that's going to plant a congregation in a month. And I pray. And halfway through my prayer, I can't think quick enough. So I go like, "It's Jesus, would you come, Holy Spirit?" I'm like, afterwards, like, "Oh, yes, I butchered it. Yes." I'm thinking like, "Oh, what did they think?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm supposed to be one of the teachers, and now I can't even pray." Oh, I've also, it's fine. But God heard my prayer. So we don't need to get weird about it. But when we can, do it right. Right? And practice it. Get good at praying. Then you'll see God move. Man, I'm excited for us having these prayer meetings on Friday. Right? And even in community, we're starting to pray a bit more. But sometimes it's a bit, sometimes, you know, it's more. But we're praying. We're praying. Because we need to be a people that pray. If you're having a coffee with someone and they kind of bring up like, you know, things happening and I don't know what to do about this. I've done this so many times and I'm sorry if I did it to you. Really, I'm sorry. Man, we need to like pray about it. Pray about it there. What's stopping us? Look, if the thing we need to pray about is deliverance, maybe the coffee shop is not the best. Now, sure, right? But, it's just, but don't do that. Leaders. But generally, man, let's pray more. Let's encourage one another more. Right there we are at. Right? If someone sends a WhatsApp, "Hey, you know, this thing is happening. You know, can you guys pray for me?" Send that person a voice note of your prayer. Hey, what about that? And then they can listen to it a couple of times and the prayer keeps repeating. You know, see what I'm... You know, knock. Why do you want to knock if you can just put a voice note on? Yes, brilliant. Yeah, that's not how it works. It was a joke, by the way. But man, let's send these voice notes. If you're on the phone and someone's like, this thing and that thing. Oh, can I quickly pray for you? Yeah, let's just pray. And then don't pull out your just be normal. Right? It's okay to be normal. He's still our Father and we respect that and we honor Him. But don't overswing it to the point where it becomes this external thing that I need to just not do. But don't numb it down. You know, it's also like not. Yeah. Just be normal. The way you would normally speak. Okay, just pray that. Because I sometimes think God looks at us, right? And we pray. And I'm like, "Yes, Lord, would you?" And I think He kind of goes like, "You don't speak to, you know, your friends like that. It's a bit weird. Almost feels like you're trying to be someone else now." But He wants to relate to you of who you are. Right? Even if it's English. Look, I think English. I pray English for my vocabulary. But when I, you know, even there's been times where I'm like, everything's just rough, eh? I just default into the most basic me. And it's just like, "Here, as a belief." You know, I just... Now, for me, the word "Yere" or "Lord," right? That's a normal way that I relate to God. But for some of you, "Yere" or "Lord" could be a very far off description. Maybe you need to get to that Father. Yeah, make it a bit more personal. But I know, especially for the older Afrikaans people. And I was in Herzogville this morning. You know, guys, if you beforehand, Aya asked me, "Look, if you pray, please just say E. Don't say Yay." You know, they're Afrikaans. They're gonna struggle with that. It's okay, right? Within how you, that's normal for them. That's how they would even speak. They threw out some Afrikaans words there that I needed to Google that. It was quite intense. But it's normal. It's normal for them. So then let them pray like that. And we can. I want to even say this: if older folk pray around you, don't go like, "They're religious." That's normal for them. God hears their prayers. Right? So let's not be weird.